Blog Talk Radio. HR Happy Hour. Welcome, everyone. Episode 22, the 2009 year in review. With me, of course, I'm Steve Bowes. With me, of course, the HR minion, Shauna Morkey. Shauna, how are you tonight?
I'm doing really well.
How's this all this terrible, disgusting winter weather treating you in Minnesota tonight?
Well, it's not snowing anymore. It's just really cold. And, you know, it's typical. I mean, this is Minnesota. We expect this stuff.
Yeah, winter has descended in my part of the world, too. I had a dodgy ride home and a shaky ride here to get the show going. But we made it just in time. So it's HR Happy Hour, episode 22, the year-end review, 2009. Yeah, we're coordinating this show with our friends. On the smart brief on workforce newsletter and web and blog, and they did a great year-end review piece that ran earlier this week, where lots of the folks on the smart brief on workforce advisory board contributed to, and I did myself, and I'm so glad that my piece got included in the year-end review. And so we thought we would do well, thanks very much. I appreciate that. There was a lot of great pieces on
the
year-end
review,
and so we figured we'd put together a little show. For the year-end review in conjunction with Smart Brief. And so we're really happy to welcome a couple great guests tonight. First, I'm really excited for this guest, especially because she's not been on the show before, and she's the senior editor at the Smart Brief. Mary Ellen Slater is with us. Mary Ellen, how are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm a lot warmer than you are.
That's not hard.
Yeah, it's not that hard. So, and I'm and I should also rub it in that I'm going to go home to Louisiana in a week and a half, and then I'll. Aww,
so mean.
It's great.
So, but yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm a longtime lurker on HR Happy Hour. So
we like lurkers.
Yes.
Long-time lurker, first-time guest, right?
Yes. And you guys were all really helpful in pulling together this year-end report. It was our most successful year-end report in terms of reader engagement ever. Lots of clicks, and the readers seemed to really like it, and it was getting passed around and everything I could possibly hope for. So I look forward to the chance to talk about some of the issues that you guys raised in your blog post.
Great. Yeah, no, there's a lot of great posts, a lot of great comments, and we'll hit on as many of them as we can, especially with our other guests. And our next guest is really sort of Shauna, you know, in many ways the founder and creator of this little crazy show, or at least certainly the inspiration.
Is for many things.
The man who needs very little introduction, but we'll introduce him anyway. The great Mark Stelzner is with us tonight. Mark, how are you?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Pleased to be here. How are you guys?
Good.
We are fantastic. And we're still trying to track down our other guest that we had lined up for tonight, which is Susan Strayer, another member of the Smart Brief on Workforce Advisory Board. So, Susan, there's a lot of folks on the line right now. And if you're hanging out on the line right now, go ahead and press 1 on your handset so I can find you. And I'll go ahead and put you up straight away. Or just DM me your actual phone number you're calling in from so I can find you. Because I don't want to start randomly punching through.
Right.
There's 15 people on the line right now, and I don't want to start randomly trying to find you on the line. So
wow.
If you're hearing this... I can go ahead and press 1 for me, or just shoot me, DM me your number, and I'll find you, and we'll get you on right away. A couple of other notes. Again, HR Happy Hour, the year-end review. The call-in number, if you want to jump in and get involved or listen in on the phone, the call-in number is 646-378-4000. 1086. If you have a question or comment for any of the guests or for us, go ahead and press 1 once you get connected, and we will take a few calls definitely on the show once we get going. If you're hanging out on Twitter tonight, we have a hashtag, which is just HR Happy Hour, and you can tweet out your comments, snarky observations, or questions, and we'll try
to. Does it have to be snarky?
They don't have to be snarky, but we'll look for them as well. So that's it. I think that's all the things, and hopefully we'll find Susan here shortly. And the other thing is, you know, hopefully once Susan joins us, last week, Sean, we had a little bit of controversy on the show, right?
we always do.
Right, we had a little controversy on the show. We had a little issue with a certain region of the country, certain area code, and, you know,
yeah.
513. And so there was a little preemptive ban on that, and we got into a little discussion about what's really the strongest region, what's the strongest
Ooh.
Part of the country for HR and talent management. And so when we got the show put together for tonight, it just so happens, right? Our two guests
yeah.
are on the line now, and Susan hopefully will join us shortly. All Washington, D.C. This is a full
wow.
Washington, D.C. power show. Right
D.C.'s representing.
Yeah, so that is awesome. All right, enough of this. You know, we've 7 minutes into the show, and we haven't even asked a question. So let's get going.
I'm having
so,
fun, though.
Mary Ellen, could you just maybe just give us a couple of observations? Maybe just remind our listeners and folks who may be new to the show or new to the Smart Brief just a little bit about what the Smart Brief on Workforce is, and then maybe just a comment or two on your observations as you sort of curated and compiled the year 2009 Year in Review edition and some of the themes that you saw.
Okay, sure thing. So Smart Brief on Workforce is one of 125 newsletters, daily newsletters that Smart Brief publishes. We aggregate information, like very specific to your job. You know, my goal every day with Smart Brief on Workforce is to go out and find the 8 stories that if you are an HR professional who wants to do your job really well, these are the 8 things you need to know. These are the 8 blog posts, news stories. You know, it can come from a variety of sources. So I feel like this job, you know, in addition to, you know, my 10 years of covering workforce issues from the job seeker side while at the Washington Post, gives me an interesting window sometimes in the trends and sort of what people are looking at and sort of the overall idea. And so I, you know, with this year in report, we got to see what the 10 most clicked stories were, like what were giving people sort of the most anxiety, what, you know, prompted people to, you know, that they felt like they had to learn more about a particular issue, and then with the blog roundup where I went out to you guys, my advisory board, and asked you to write your own take on the year, that sort of gave me, it's like I was aggregating, you know, the smart people as well as their stories, and one of the main things that struck me is how anxious people are, more so than, I mean, last year and this year, people are just terrified. Communication skills seem really important this year, and I think that was in response to fear and trying to, you know, HR's role almost in consoling the workforce, and really that things like the top stories were things like 10 phrases to avoid, 10 flawed assumptions about managing people, you know, 6 tips for handling a tough conversation. What does that tell you about the conversations that HR people were tasked with this year, the responsibilities? You know, I mean,
yeah.
And every one of you, you know, what you looked at were the ways. I mean, we talked about social media might be the one bright spot. You know, otherwise, it was a pretty dismal year.
Probably.
So, I mean, I'm sorry. I wish I could say something, you know, happier. But, I mean, you guys are
no
really
one
stressing, like, 10 signs that a job is going nowhere.
right. Five ways to deal with a dysfunctional manager, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this list. I mean, if you've got anybody on the call that hasn't checked out this report yet, I mean, these 10 stories, they completely encapsulate, like, every HR paranoia.
Right.
Yeah, and let's make sure we tweet out that link, either Mary Ellen, you or Shauna. Like, let's find that link and tweet out the link to so folks can maybe take a look at some of these maybe while they're listening tonight or after the call. That would be good, too. Mark, I know you had a really thoughtful piece in the year 2009 Year in Review edition, and maybe just give us some of your general comments about what you saw, what you heard, and just 2009 from your perspective.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a thoughtful piece, but I tried to summarize 2009.
Well, let's pretend it was.
Okay.
Oh, guys.
No,
folks
who didn't read it.
You know, I tried to summarize 2009 in one word, and the word that came to mind was vampires.
So appropriate.
So, and at first glance, people are like, okay, why is vampires appropriate. And if I delve about an inch deeper, it's because 2009 sucked. I mean, 2009 was horrific. You know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics had us at about 10.2% unemployment as of the end of October. It's now normalized to 10%. If you count those that are partially employed, we're closer to 17 to 20% unemployment. If you start to look at certain portions of the community, like African Americans, it's over 16%, Latinos over 13%. So you add to the fact that all these people have lost their jobs. Pile onto that, that just in October alone, over 300,000 homeowners received notices of foreclosure, repossession, or default. So one out of every roughly 400 homes nationwide went bankrupt in October.
Right, right.
So yeah. if you put all that in perspective, and it's funny, you know, in addition to the vampire craze, obviously it's kind of funny to use vampires with all the movies and everything else, and I promise I'm not running around without my shirt off.
I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
But it's funny, you know, my wife actually was reading an article about the vampire craze, and there was a particular quote that jumped out at me that I think amply summarized 2009, and the quote was, "It's about love and loss and friendship, and getting through things you're not sure you can get through, but you do it anyway."
Aww.
And honestly, I think that's what 2009 was. I don't care what industry it was. 2009 was horrific, and it sucked. And I think what Mary Ellen's talking about, what other writers have pointed to, is that that really summarizes 2009. Now, beyond that, if we talk about the raging debates, at least in our little microcosm that seemed to dominate the year, the discussion of was HR dead was probably the next thing that I noticed. You know, did HR die? Will HR rise and live again? This continues my vampire analogy.
Right, right. Work that analogy.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. You know, are pitchfork-carrying torchbearers running around crying for a revolution, or do we need to evolve? And you know, the point here is HR had a questionable reputation within 2009. You know, and like vampires, you know, HR, it's, so for a lot of people, it's dark, it's mysterious, it's reviled. HR people can strike without warning, and many people felt like they were victimized by the HR profession
yeah.
in 2009.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you, Mark.
Yeah.
It's still happening all the time. I had a meeting today here at the college, and I won't say the person's name, but it was a very senior person here in the academic side of the organization who flat out told me right to my face that I've met less than 5 HR people in my entire career who I have had any respect for. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Well,
if
they obviously haven't met me.
Yeah, I said, are you familiar with the HR minion? I mean, come on, buddy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's terrible.
It's been tough. And, you know, and honestly, you know, when I look back every year like a moron, I try to predict what the following year is going to be. So even at the end of 2008, when I tried to predict what was 2009 going to look like, you know, we talked about the fact that HR is going to add tremendous value in 2009, but not in the areas they desire. And I think, honestly, that came true. I think the value that organizations saw in HR as executioner, as the individuals that were likely to keep them out of legal trouble while hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people were disintermediated by the market, they added a lot of value. They were present, they were visible, and unfortunately, they were often turning off the lights on themselves at the end of that process. So I think HR got a lot of visibility in 2009. Good news. The bad news is HR got a lot of negative visibility or negative brand association by virtue of what they had to do.
Yeah, and so in 2009, in that light, Mark, did you see anything from your, you know, from your practice, from working with your clients, or just in your sort of observing the scene? Did you see instances of HR organizations really trying to take advantage, say, of some of these negatives and spin them positively?
Well,
any way to sort of turn things to their advantage, even despite all the conditions?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it depends on the audience. One thing they tried to turn their advantage is the fact that they could churn a lot of dead weight in their organization. I mean, most companies see that their low performers represent anywhere between 5 and 10% of their population. So when the first rounds of layoffs came on, the benefit to the corporation is finally we can get rid of these people and we have a justifiable means of doing so. However, and that's something that everyone could rationalize. You know, the employees that survived the first couple rounds said, oh, well, those people were poor performers anyhow. When you started hitting the second, third, fourth round, then it became fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But for internal positioning, I think HR was able to say, you know, we're in a unique position to upgrade our talent. And given that talent and individual performance may have had very little with layoffs in 2009, we can go out, and for the few positions we do have available, or if we do want to churn some low performers and try to replace them with some medium to high performers, we can do so. So I think that was some of the internal positioning. In terms of the way in which they were able to communicate to those employees, I don't think there was a good way. I don't think there was anything that HR could do to, frankly, make this a painless experience. And I don't think there's anything they could really convey to the market, to those people that they were walking out the door, that they could rationalize. If you guys haven't seen it, and I'm not paid to plug this, you should see the George Clooney movie Up in the Air.
I was going to mention it if you didn't mention it. I was going to mention it.
Yeah, go ahead, Mary Ellen.
I haven't seen it, but I need to see it. It's my plan for the weekend, so that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fascinating look. And if you don't know the story, George Clooney travels all over the nation. Frankly, he's a frequent flyer, which has an aspiration to hit a certain frequent flyer number. And his job is to drag himself into corporations, as he stated, for people that are too weak to cut their own employees. So he's a hat man. And just see that movie for the experiences and the reactions of employees that have been cut. If you've ever had to terminate an employee, especially over the course of 2009, and I guarantee if you're HR and you're listening to this, you have, then you will have tremendous sympathy and affinity for what was captured in that movie. I think it did a great job.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. I heard that it was a real sort of sign of the times, and really a movie that sort of fit the workplace for the time more so than lots of other movies. I mean, I fall back to Office Space all the time. That's my go-to sort of workplace
movie.
I know. But that's a great idea. That's a great recommendation on that one. Mary Ellen, as part of working with the brief and sort of, I know the brief is always asking for feedback from its readers, and so in the course of the year and the different polls that you guys ran and the different feedback that came in from the Smart Brief readers, who really make up such a huge and wide assortment of HR and workforce type professionals around the year, was there any other sort of things that you noted that was sort of concerning them, you know, beyond sort of the doom and gloom of the recession and the economy? Were any other trends you might have noticed or picked up on in the course of the year?
Well, I think the anxiety that we're talking about, communication skills, as I mentioned, healthcare, has everybody stressing because we don't know, and it's the uncertainty about healthcare. I mean, it's the backbone of most benefits packages right now. I mean, having health insurance and not having it and how good your health insurance it is. I mean, once there's a certain age that you hit where that almost becomes more important than the salary. And I think that as people are wondering what's going to happen with health insurance, they then wonder, well, what does that mean for, this expense that I have? How can I manage this expense? I mean, that expense continues to rise. So if you're a benefits manager, you're trying to figure out, like, what your next move should be based on what Congress may or may not do. I mean, that's a pretty frustrating position. And I noticed that when we ran stories related to that those topics were pretty hot as well. There's also the continued anxiety about where HR's internal positioning, getting the eye of the CEO and being taken seriously, as a strategic function, that continues to perplex, a lot of HR people, I guess probably depending on their level. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say the phrase because I'll get killed on Twitter. I'm not going to say it, but we know what you're talking about. And a couple of us were fortunate enough to attend the Senior HR Executive Conference this week in New York City, and I know we heard that in one of the sessions. I heard that phrase, killer phrase, the phrase that we shall not mention on the show anymore. But
someone said it in one
of the panels.
Okay, my favorite counter to that phrase is my HR guy at SmartBrief. He does not have this problem. You know what he has? MBA. No, he does not have he's at his core, a finance guy who then came into the strategic function and looks at HR in that direction. He wears a suit and tie every day. He sits two offices over from our CEO. He is one of the most important people in our business. So happen. It can be done. He has a VP title. He is concerned every day. What he's thinking about is not whether we're complying with certain paper, work or whatever. He's thinking about how he's going to staff and grow, and help grow a fast-growing, entrepreneurial company in the next year, in the next 5 years. And if you do that, then your problem is solved. And I realize that many people come into HR without having that training. And so whenever they hit that level, you know, that's hard. It's hard. It's hard to figure out where you should invest. You know, like, what should you spend your money on? Should you go get an MBA? Should you go get an MA? What should you be doing to get there? And I think that is also, judging from the clicks and the polls that I've done, that's continued to stress people out. Like, they want to know how to get those skills. All the while, they have no money to spend on it. So.
Right. Let me just do a quick reset. We're about 20 minutes into the show. Again, HR Happy Hour, doing a 2009 year in review with our guests, Mark Stelzner and Mary Ellen Slater from the Smart Brief on Workforce newsletter. The call-in number is 646-378-1086. There are a bunch of people hanging out on the line. If you want to jump in, we'll start taking some calls in a few minutes. If you're on the line and want to jump in with a comment or question, go ahead and press 1. Susan, if you're out there, we haven't found you yet. If you're out there, either send me your number or go ahead and press 1 if you're hanging out, and we'll find you. Or just tweet out in public how we can find you, and we'll get you on as quickly as we can. So the other trend I noticed, Mary Ellen, when I look through the collection of posts that were put together by the different advisory board members, I know I wrote about this a little bit, I know Susan did, and perhaps one or two others, was the impacts and the effects in HR and workplace on, you know, on social media and social network phenomenon. Now, I know that in the course of, as the briefs have gone out every day, you know, you ran lots of pieces from different contributors and different news sources on social networking. And so I just thought maybe you could maybe give an observation or two on what you saw in that regard in 2009.
Well, I would say most seasoned HR professionals at this point understand that social networking is a tool that can be helpful in many of their functions, that it won't replace anything. It's not going to replace, you know, picking up the phone. It's not going to replace getting out there. It's not going to, you know, talking to people, you know, but it can make a lot of aspects of that job easier. I also think that HR people are taking an interest, judging from the clicks that I've been getting and stories, in how social media influences their own careers. So on one hand, they're looking at it, you know, as sourcers of talent, you know, as recruiters of talent. They're looking at it in ways to communicate with employees, say, about benefits, you know, and things like that. And they're also trying to figure out what it means to their careers. Like, what does it mean to be HR? So often this sort of invisible function. You know, they're just there to, like, you know, make sure everything is, you know, the trains are running on time. And that social media gives those professionals an opportunity to stand out. So I find that a lot of people are experimenting with that and very curious about it. LinkedIn seems to be the social media tool of choice over Twitter and, say, Facebook. So does that bear out with what you're noticing as well?
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think there's varying levels of sort of familiarity and or adoption, you know, and then I'm going to, before I sort of comment on a couple things I saw this week, I'll just throw that one out to Mark, too. And so I know you're a keen observer of the scene, Mark, as well, and maybe you want to share a thought or two on the impact of social networking, social media, and just these tech tools and technologies on HR and workforce issues this year.
Yeah, I definitely think it is probably one of the most talked about and least adopted issues in HR. So I think in terms of having an answer to social media, being able to address it, I think the vocal minority, which represents, frankly, everyone on this call and most people listening, have done a tremendous job of raising the visibility and crying from the rooftops that social media is an important aspect of your HR strategy. I think the minor or the majority, unfortunately, does not understand what that means to their organization. So I think there's yeoman's work to be done to try to cross the chasm and drag the rest of us along and convince those others that they should participate. Now, I've also argued pretty publicly that maybe this is a competitive advantage. So maybe we shouldn't feel compelled to train every HR professional on social media. Just like it's an advantage for candidates, and it's an advantage for us, and to Mary Ellen's point, it's an advantage to those HR professionals who use it to their own personal gain. But I think social media has probably dominated the positive press associated with HR, especially stories associated with the leverage of recruiting through social media tools. So I think that was a tremendous success, but we've got a hell of a long way to go still.
Yeah, I'd agree with a lot of those points, Mark. And, you know, from my perspective, you know, the piece I wrote was certainly technology-focused is what I sort of think about most frequently and write about most often. And you know, one of the major themes in the technology space was enterprise or traditional enterprise solutions and tools and trying to get more integrated or more cognizant of employees in organizations' use of social networks and trying to leverage those networks to support traditional internal processes. So whether it's, you know, an ATS system that's providing native links out to, you know, surf your own all your Facebook friends to refer a job, whether it's pushing, you know, your personal training and development plans and making them available, you know, on Facebook as a widget or something like that, or other tools or technologies that really have that kind of consumer and or sort of public internet feel to them, whether they're forums or wikis or just like Twitter. You know, one of the big stories in technology was organizations trying to figure out how to leverage Twitter or some Twitter-like tool inside their own enterprise to better connect their employees with each other and what they might be working on. And it was a very strong trend in technology, and particularly HR and workforce technologies in 2009. And honestly, it shows no sign of slowing down. You know, how much of that is more, you know, vendors trying to solve problems that don't really exist yet or they anticipate will exist, and how much of that is customers really demanding this from vendors? It's difficult to say, but it was probably the most significant HR technology trend that I observed in 2009.
Well, and I think touching on what you're saying, I think the convergence between marketing and HR is probably one of the most interesting developments. And I say this in the context of employer brand.
Right.
So the reason that social media, I think, was so powerful and so many people stood up and took notice in 2009 is because how individuals, whether it's the guy that did United Hates Guitars, can negatively and or positively impact a brand.
Right.
And that forces HR to stand up and pay attention to what employees or future employees or customers are saying. So I'm curious to see, from an employer branding perspective, how HR, if HR, rises to the occasion to get more involved in the employer branding discussion, or if, in fact, like many other opportunities in the past, they acquiesce to the marketing or corporate communications function and they take the lead and HR misses this opportunity.
Yeah, that's interesting, Mark, that you mentioned the United Breaks Guitars thing. And I think perhaps, was it you or someone I know? I think it was you who wrote about that earlier in the year. And I remember thinking about that some, and I kind of felt like, you know, whether it's with a consumer issue like that and a customer service issue, or whether or not it's a disgruntled employee issue, like no one ever goes on YouTube with a song like, you know, United safely transported grandma's china, you know, to Des Moines, you know, and it didn't break. No one writes that song, no one puts it on YouTube, and no one cares about it. So it's same thing on the employer side, right? I mean,
yeah, no one's like, Avis nailed benefits enrollment. You know, that's not going to be a million downloads. It's really not. So
I got paid properly again for the 37th consecutive pay period.
Oh,
direct deposit worked. So, you know, I think it's really interesting because I think it is. It's going to force, especially the talent side of HR, it's going to force them to think about the brand of the organization because now they're inextricably linked.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the branding thing too, and I'll just make one more comment. Two comments really. I mentioned we were at this HR executive conference this week, and it was kind of interesting to hear the perspectives on various issues from really some of the most senior HR executives from some of the largest companies in the world. And it was really interesting and a great couple of days. But the one thing, and folks who were there, Lori Rudman was there, Trish McFarlane, and Frank Roche and I got invited to come to this event. And you know, if any of those guys are hanging out or listening or on Twitter, you can sort of agree with me or disagree with me. But the one thing I never heard, or maybe just in passing heard, any of these senior HR executives mention was social networking, social media, and any of these topics we've been discussing for the last 10 minutes. I don't think I heard it once. Session, someone mentioned it in the context of, you know, I share recipes with my grandma on Facebook, right? It wasn't really, it was the extent of it. And I thought it was interesting for its complete and utter lack of mention by these folks in the various contexts that they were talking.
Well, it's funny, you know.
Go ahead, Mary Ellen.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you, whenever we were talking, I went back, you know, back in September, I did a poll of the SmartReason workforce readers and asked them, is your organization using social media to help recruiting? 43% said no and were not interested.
Interesting. Yeah.
Really?
29, no, and were considering it. Only 17% yes and were pleased with the results. 11% said yes and were not seeing the benefit. I would love to re-ask this poll 6 months after this. This was early September.
Right. Right.
And, I mean, I really think it's all over the place. But, I mean, yeah, most people, 43%, no, and we are not interested.
Yeah.
And the blogosphere thought that was just crazy, and they were like, that can't be right. How many people did you ask, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, but it really, it isn't. I mean, not everybody's doing it. So I would love to ask again, though, because I think the adoption rate over the next year will probably come pretty quickly.
Yeah. You know what's really cool? I love how Mary Ellen's on the show can actually, like, cite statistics and is actually prepared. It's fantastic. it's a first for the show, I think. Like, we can actually back up anything we actually said. That's awesome.
I just remembered that poll, and I was like, I have to go find this, because it was such, when I had tweeted out that happened, I mean, the waves of disbelief,
right,
people
right.
could not believe it. Like, I mean, they were like, what? You mean they're not all, like, look, you people are living in this little world, and, you know, but, you know, so Susan, I wish you were here. She keeps a great list of all the companies that are recruiting on Twitter on her blog.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's growing. It's a growing list, but, you know, it's still, it's certainly not everybody. It's not even all
well,
probably of the Fortune 500. So.
You know, let's get that, let's see if we can get that link sent out and put on the HR Happy Hour hashtag as well. So
let me just
take a quick reset. We're about a little over halfway into the show. Again, the call-in number is 646-378-1086. We're talking 2009 Year in Review with Mark Stelzner and Mary Ellen Slater from Smart Brief on Workforce. We've got a few folks on the line. I think we'll go ahead and take a few calls if that's okay with our guests. I see there are a few people who want to jump on, and you know, just by principle, I am not going to go to 513 first. So I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Well, they've disappointed us in the past.
I know. So I'm not starting off with that. I'm not prepared for that. So we are going to go to area code 618. You are on the HR Happy Hour.
Hi, Steve. Hi, everyone. It's Trish.
Hey, Trish.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are fantastic. Trish, could you go ahead and just give your sort of full name and who you are for the benefit of those two or three people who might not know?
Might not know me. I am Trish McFarlane, and I blog at HRringleader.com, and longtime listener and former guest. So.
All right. So 2009, Trish, from your perspective, what do you think?
Well, actually, I was not wanting to sort of take the limelight because I tend to agree with a lot that you all have been talking about. The one thing I wanted to just add in on was when you mentioned at the conference that we went to where, you know, there are very high-level HR professionals there who were not talking about using social media. I actually did sit in on one session that I know you weren't part of, but I found it very interesting. There was a panel, and it was led by PricewaterhouseCoopers. So, you know, actually I can say this because I worked there for many years prior to the job I have now and actually happen to know both the moderator and one of the panelists that was at the conference. The thing that I found really interesting was when I had actually tweeted out, and of course no one on the panel was following Twitter as was no one in the room, but I had tweeted out that I thought it was really odd that we were almost through the day and that no one has even mentioned social media. So it wasn't long after that, though, that someone actually brought it up, and one of the top HR people from PwC sort of patted himself on the back by saying, well, we use social media tools to reach out to interns. And I thought, well, that's good, but you're talking about roughly a population of 2,700 people. And they were talking about this totally in the context of, you know, these young millennials, they're the ones who are on social media. What about their 30,000 employees who are in many generations who are on social media every day? I mean, obviously, we all know people from, you know, at every age that are doing this. I know people all the way up into their 70s and 80s who are getting on Twitter and Facebook and all these different things. So I found it interesting that they were almost giving themselves credit and people were clapping for him. And while I don't want to discount what they did as a good thing, I think that they really missed the boat because they've got 30,000 employees globally that they could really be communicating with and using the tools much more effectively than what they're doing. Also, with some of the companies that were there, Coca-Cola. I mean, these are companies that have huge presence on Facebook, but yet no one brought that up.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Yeah. I thought that maybe it's going on more than we realize, and it's just it doesn't bubble up to that level. Maybe some of the folks who were giving presentations at the event we were at, and maybe it's just not part of their day to day things they're thinking about. You know?
Or do you think it's not HR? I mean, I think they probably have marketing people or digital technology people who are doing it for them or for the company. But what a shame.
Guys, I did a workshop with a very large organization in Chicago yesterday, and I was sitting down with the CEO, and we started to talk about social media. I brought it up. He didn't. And and the HR VP was in the room, and we were chatting. And one thing I started to discover, and I threw this out as a hypothesis, is one of the challenges to adoption is that there's not a line item in the budget. There isn't a role.
Right.
and I truly mean that. To spend on social media, there needs to be a line item. To spend on anything, there needs to be a line item. And although this is theoretically opportunity cost, most people look at their organizations as cost centers. So if the average HR organization has access to $1,850 to spend per employee per year, which is the average, where's the line item for social media? Where's the job position or description that describes the individual within HR that's responsible for social media? Mary Ellen, you talked about benefits. The average organization spends about $7,500 a year on benefits. How does social media enter into that conversation? So if HR controls roughly $10,000 per employee per year in terms of budgetary spend, how do they do it? And it was funny, the CEO actually laughed because he said, I think you're right. Until this becomes a line item, until it becomes important enough for us to budget for it, it will never get my attention.
Yeah. And I think, as Trish sort of alluded to or said, directly, some of that is there could be some confusion or just some folks saying, well, this isn't really our thing, right? This is a marketing thing. This is a PR thing, a corporate communications thing. And I did notice this year quite a few of these kind of articles or sort of opinion pieces that wanted to talk to, HR is the new this, HR is the new PR, HR is the new marketing, right? And I did see a lot of that this year. Maybe it's always been around and I just noticed it for the first time, but lots of sort of maybe, I don't know if it's jockeying or just trying to figure out if you believe that these tools, technologies, and activities are important to the organization, but just we can't figure out really where they fit and who owns them.
I hope that's not true because I love my marketing guy, but I do not want him negotiating my health insurance plans.
Right. Hey, we got a couple more folks. Trish, thanks so much for the call. Hang out with us if you like. We got a couple more callers on the line. I'm still not willing to play the 513 card just yet, but I will before the show's over. Let's go to area code 206. 206. You on HR Happy Hour?
Hey guys, it's Jessica Lee from Fistful of Talent.
Hey Jessica.
Hey Jessica, how are you?
Good, good. Hope you guys are well. I just wanted to hop in real quickly on, Trisha's commentary and your guys' commentary about maybe the lack of discussion on social media at the conference you guys were at. And the thing that I guess it makes me think about is the fact that when it comes to, like, all of our usage of social media, a lot of folks don't yet have a lot of tangible results to speak to. And I don't think everyone's quite figured out, including myself, what are the metrics that we need to be, using in order to track efficacy of social media when it comes to recruiting or employment branding and all that stuff. And so I don't know if maybe there's, like, a hesitancy for, these senior-level HR folks who are like the number one person in their organizations to be talking about it yet when they're not quite sure, but what they've actually done with it. So that's just maybe another perspective.
Right. So it hasn't been proven to them yet just how it might pay off and how it might benefit them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that there's probably a lot of truth to that. Absolutely. And so maybe if that's something that folks are interested in this need to think about more, going into next year. If you want to get this going in your organization, figure out the right way to sell it. Maybe metrics and real being able to prove ROI might have to be the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks, Jessica, for that. Do you have anything else on 2009 from your perspective? You guys at the Fistful of Talent, you run tons of great content every single day, lots of it. Anything you noticed of the content and the pieces that ran on your site over the years, like over this year, what got the most sort of buzz, feedback, hits, and whatnot?
I guess, you know, even aside from the blog, though, one other trend that I hope to see continue into 2010 is just, you know, HR pros doing a better job and doing a fantastic job, actually, of, you know, doing PR for themselves and doing PR for their organizations and the best practices that, that they might be doing. And so I'm hoping to see that continue because I think it's been great to see that so far this year.
Cool, cool. Jessica, thanks so much for the call. Hang out with us, you know, as long as you like. I know, you know, it's tough. D.C., again, what is it? Another D.C. caller. You know what? Shauna, I'm calling D.C. is it right now. Hey,
do not discount Minnesota.
Minnesota's not bringing anything. Portland, we haven't even heard from.
Nothing
that's
Portland, a good point.
Right? That one of our hotbeds. D.C. is dominating the show right now.
Well,
we have one more.
We'll do the location competition show later, and then we'll see who brings it then.
Yeah, you know, and I think 513 is getting annoyed because there's a couple of them wanting to get
it. I think so.
All right, you know, this is really against my better judgment, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. There's a couple 513ers out there. I'm going to put one of them up. 513, don't let me down. You're on the HR happy hour.
Who's this?
This is 513-253.
Because when you're on the other end, it doesn't sound like you're calling on it. So this is Benjamin McCall.
Benjamin, how are you, pal?
I'm doing good, man. Long time listener. Well, short time listener, first time caller, actually.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you for calling, Ben.
Yeah, I will say that last week, whoever was the 513, I was not the one that gave us that.
Good to know.
There's a lot of things you guys have been mentioning, and I think there's a lot of good points, but one thing I'd like to ask, I think 2009 was a tough year, but I think it's kind of a tipping point year for people within human resources, HRD, within the function. So it's kind of the point where we're starting to think more about, less about the task that we're doing, and more about how do we actually become more a part of the business side. And that's kind of my thoughts. A lot of the times when I'm thinking about human resources and on that end. But what I would say is I heard Stelzner and a few other people say about cost line, a line item on the budget. But why does it have to be a line item on the budget? I know if you're going to do a technical system as a part of the business, but a lot of us, how many of us are actually paying or using our companies to do Twitter, to do social media? It's so low cost. Why does it have to be a line item on the budget?
Mark, I think that one went to you, so I want you to answer that one.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of whose attention you're trying to get. I agree. I think social media is all about opportunity cost. In fact, it is low cost or no cost. There doesn't necessarily need to be a line item on the budget. I think, however, for many C-level executives, if it's not on the budget, it's not adding value.
Yeah.
It's not taken seriously. It's not big enough to move our market or to move our message or to move our organizations, move mountains for our firm. And so, you know, marketing is probably out there saying, oh, well, we need to spend on advertising and social media. Well, that's a line item. You know, and I'm not suggesting it's the only barrier to entry. I just thought it was an interesting point that I hadn't really thought about very deeply before. But if you think about everything else that HR does, there's probably a line item for it.
Right.
And I understand that. I understand the reason why and the reasoning behind it, especially on the business side. I guess when I think about it, and like I said before, a lot of us are using it, and it's no cost to us, and we're
absolutely
using it in our own ways. And
yep,
even so, I think we're all failed in marketing because, I mean, even in my last job, everything that I did, I had to sell and market a lot of my own programs to make sure people were actually engaged in a part of those programs. So I think, you know, this year is kind of a tipping point to for a lot of us to ask more of those questions, but at the same time to also challenge the rest of the field because, I mean, we could talk to each other all the time, but there's probably a lot of people who don't really know how to use it or the context to use it in.
And let me ask you.
Ben, I also think there's a difference also, you know, you touched on this a little, but the slight difference between sort of how the folks who are listening to the show typically and are on Twitter and are very active and bloggers and whatnot, sort of how we're leveraging a lot of these tools really individually, you know, for the most part, and not necessarily in an organizational context or furthering organizational objectives. And I think there's a little bit of a difference there in those approaches.
And Ben, let me throw a question back to you then. Are you a member of some of the major HR associations?
I'm a member of SHRM. I'm a member of ASTD.
Okay. And do you feel like any of those organizations have, if you look at 2009, and maybe we can just focus on social media, have they done anything to help you? And I say this in the
sense. SHRM is starting to. I'd say okay. ASTD is behind. And I actually sent a message to because I'm more on the training side of the function. I'm really interested on the learning side. And my perspective is I actually sent a message to China and asked if SHRM had done anything to partner with other organizations like ASTD, the OD Network, and some other nations. And she said they're willing, but a lot of people haven't reached out or even brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those partnerships, each association has their own purpose and is dealing with the constituency of their own membership. But I think there's definitely opportunities to be able to partner and kind of get more of the word out and use it not only for a business tool but also for a human resources tool to better function. So.
Yeah, I think we got about – let me just stop you guys here. It's an interesting conversation. Ben, thanks so much for the call. We got about 15.
Thank you, Ben.
You can hang out with us if you like. We got about 15 more minutes to go. We have a couple more folks who want to jump in. And so I want to go ahead and just grab the last couple of callers who want to come on. And I know we can't really be an HR happy hour show without going international anymore, right?
Yay.
It wouldn't feel right. And so let's do that right now. Country code 44, you are on the HR happy hour.
Hi, Steve.
Oh, it's the legend.
Hi.
The legend that was. Hi everybody. I just wanted to call in. I've just been listening to your conversation on social media, which I think is quite interesting. I can't comment obviously on the trade associations, but I think we have two issues that we have to face, and in our community, we probably don't spend enough time, if we're talking about the next year, talking about how we reach out to the people who are not on social media, which perhaps takes up the majority. And that's one of the issues that I think for next year we need to be considering a joint approach between our social strategies and our physical networking.
Okay, so more alignment between what's happening inside organizations day-to-day and what's happening out there online, right? Just make it, as Mark says, bring it in, put it in, make a budget line item for it, if you will, if you have to tie it back in together with initiatives that are already underway, that type of thing?
Well, to bring it in, but also I think we need to get the balance. I think some of us who are quite evangelical about the potential social networks, and I'm one of them, we've perhaps overlooked over the past 6-9 months those people who are not online and talking and really gathering their views about why they're not doing it or why they're not getting involved, not just from a corporate point of view but from a personal point of view, and seeing whether there are other conversations going on offline which maybe we're missing out because we're in a tight group.
Right. Fair enough, Bill. Yeah, I appreciate it. Bill's, again, Bill Borman, the legend, the networker, the supreme networker, and just fantastic guy. Great supporter of the show this year in 2009 as well, and I just want to give my personal thanks to Bill for all the support of the show this year. I really do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Steve. It's a great show. If I could just give out a shout before we go to True London and say that you're coming over.
You sure can. Go ahead.
And Trish is coming over, and Laurie's coming over.
Yay,
and
oh,
Jeff's
so
coming
jealous.
Over. We're really excited about seeing you in we're really excited about seeing you all in London.
I'm phenomenal in person. That's what everyone will tell you. Like, I'm great. I'm good on the radio, but I'm better live.
Well,
we've met on the bus, too.
So I'm not going to comment on that.
Right.
Hey, Bill, it's Trish. I'm way more fun than Steve, too, so. You can ask Mark. Mark's a good one. And Shauna.
This is how rumors start. So we'll move on.
Oh. All right, easy now. This is still the 2009 year end review show. We can debate who's more fun at conferences, maybe in the after show once the live stream cuts off. We've got one more person who's been hanging on the line for a while, and you know, I'll do it. You know, I'll give Ben McCall, you know, quite frankly, so you sort of saved 513. I'll take 513 off probation because of your after call and questions, Ben. So you saved your city. And so I'll take one more.
You got to thank the minion for encouraging me to come on.
All right. Well, you
yes.
did great. Well, I'll take the last call probably for the show, and it's one more call from 513. 513 Part 2, you're on the HR Happy Hour.
This is HR Margaret from Cincinnati, Ohio, longtime fan of HR Happy Hour.
Hello, Margo.
Hello. Hey, I wanted to ask the team, of all of the things that you saw emerge this year in terms of social media, what do you think the one trend that we're using in terms of the technological tools in 2.0, which is the one that's going to have the most staying power, Steve?
I think I probably wouldn't give you one answer to that. It depends on the organization, and it depends a lot on what you're trying to accomplish inside your organization. I've just finished reading a really excellent book called Enterprise 2.0 that was written by Andrew McAfee from Harvard, or at least recently from Harvard. I'm not sure if he's still there now. And Enterprise 2.0 talks about the sort of Web 2.0 tools and technologies as you would apply them inside the organization. And one of the key points in the book, and one I thought made a lot of sense, was the appropriate tool or technology that you might apply to a given business process or problem really depends a lot on the nature of the relationships of the people that you're trying to connect. So what I mean by that is, if they're a close-knit working group that really is used to talking to each other every day, maybe they're co-located and they collaborate frequently and often, a certain type of tool might be a better solution to foster even more collaboration in problem solving. In a larger organization, more dispersed, where your problem might be more expertise location and surfacing content that exists in solutions that may have been created in sort of far-flung regions of your enterprise, you might have a completely different tool. And so what seems to be happening in the technologies themselves is some of the providers who are creating these so-called Enterprise 2.0 technologies are trying to pile on lots and lots of functionality into a big suite. So you might see a solution that has wiki functionality sort of that really works better on sort of tightly organized teams. And then it might have forum functionality that works even better for more far-flung parts of the organization. And it might, again, still have an internal sort of microblogging or Twitter-like tool as well, all built into it. So I don't think there's really one specific technology that you'd say is really going to be the dominant or the most important one in the areas of sort of workforce collaboration and applying social networking properties inside the enterprise. I think it's going to be a number of tools and perhaps even more commonly more suites that offer a wide range of functionality. That's my long answer. And I didn't even prepare that. I didn't have that written down.
Very nice.
Does it make sense?
Good answer.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, okay. Thanks, Margo. Last couple minutes of the show. Mary Ellen, Mark, I'll just throw it back to you guys. Any sort of final thoughts you want to give us, maybe Mary Ellen especially? Next week we're doing the 2010 Look Forward show, again in conjunction with the Smart Brief on Workforce Special Edition, sort of on the looking forward stuff. Is there anything you might want to mention or give a little teaser for next week's show?
Well, the one next week is going to be, I think it's actually my favorite. We've got an interview with Libby Sartain talking about employer branding and personal branding for workers and how all that intersects and what HR people have to do to make sense of all of that. And that's, you know, obviously you talk about how, you know, sort of senior level HR people are grappling with this issue. I mean, she's one of the best, and she gives some great guidance. And we also spoke with Eric Weingartner from Monster. Recruiting is heading next year. So another great interview.
We
and
need to get Eric. Eric, if you're out there, you need to come on the show next week. I haven't reached out to him about this. And so, EW, you better come on next week.
We also, Eric and I also learned in the process of pulling together that article that we have the same birthday. And it's during Sherm. It's during Sherm. So, you know, we expect a party.
You're going to party.
but anyway, and then the other issue, we have another roundup, you know, of like with, you know, other viewpoints of my other favorite bloggers. So if you just want like a good big picture, you know, look and start doing your planning for next year, because I think we're all going to be really busy next year.
Right. And that'll run next Tuesday, right, Mary Ellen?
Yes, it's going to run on Tuesday.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, great. And you'll be with us again next week, too, right, Mary Ellen?
Yes, I will.
I love this. I love Mary Ellen's so prepared. She has, like, polls at the ready, links at the ready.
I've been waiting with these polls for, you know.
I love it. Mark, yeah, let me throw it out to you. Okay, you know, vampire, fear, loathing, 2009.
Singing off shirt. Don't forget pants.
Not singing off shirt. So, I am
Debbie Downer here.
What was the best highlight of 2009?
Well,
if we haven't mentioned that.
No, I'll tell you what the best highlight of 2009 was, and it'll touch on what Margot's question was. The most powerful tool in social networking is you.
Yep.
It's you.
Oh, yeah.
It's you as an individual. And I'll tell you that in 2009, I would not have met any of you without social media. None of you. None of the people that are on Twitter that I'm following, none of the people, I wouldn't have likely met any of you. So you are the most powerful social media tool. And what you do with that and what technologies you apply yourself to, that's what's going to start making a difference in this industry. And that's what I'm excited about when I look to 2010. And those are the positive things I look back on in 2009.
Right. I'd have to agree with you. Just the amount of personal connectivity, the way that the community comes together, the way it's grown, right? How many more and new people you've met, have been introduced to, have sort of joined this active community and sharing information and knowledge. I'll throw out the HR Evolution event, which I thought, you know, at least in our small community, was to me probably the highlight of the year. It was a phenomenal event that was thrown together. And Trish, of course, you and Ben Eubanks put that together, and I thought was really one of the highlights of the entire year.
Thank you.
I hope we have another one soon. I'm waiting for my invitation.
We will.
Great. Anyone else hanging on the line? Anyone want to give a final thought on 2009 before we wrap it up, do some plugs, and play us out?
I just want to mention something, Steve. I think the biggest thing for me this year has been the convergence between recruiters and HR and vendors, and which has really come through social media, and that's people who previously wouldn't have had conversations. We would have hung out at best in our own network groups, in our own trades, and I think that community now, HR, recruiters, everyone with the same goal in terms of talent, different objectives, but the same goal, is really something that's quite powerful and is shaping the market. And that's what I'm really excited about for next year, and I think is the highlight of this year, as well as all the global connectivity between the UK and the US and Australia and everywhere
else.
Yeah,
that's really has been a remarkable thing this year. And Bill, for True London, how do I find out? How do people find out about True London?
Oh,
TrueConferences.com?
TrueConferences.com. If you go there and have a look, you'll see you can see all the track leaders. You can see what we're doing. And Trish is going to be leading a special track there, which is going to be taking your learning from your conference over to London and maybe having a bit of a UK take on it to bring it back for your next conference. And so I'm really excited about that as well.
Great. Thanks so much, Bill. Shauna, any final thoughts before we wrap it?
Just very quick. For the Carnival of HR has been doing really well this year. You guys, thank you so much, everyone who's participated. I kind of took it over around mid-year, and it's just been getting bigger, so it's really cool. And to wrap up this year, April Dowling has the next Carnival of HR on December 23rd, and then Bill Borman is hosting a very special Carnival of HR. It's a vlogging edition, so everyone can participate as long as you have a webcam. You don't need a blog. Grab your webcam, do a short video, and go to recruitingonblog.wordpress.com to find out more.
Okay, great. We're about ready to wrap up. If we go over and the live stream cuts off, I apologize to folks listening online. I'll try to squeeze this in before we go over the hour mark. Mary Ellen and Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And Mary Ellen, again, next week we'll see you again. But guys, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
All right.
Thanks
for having us.
Great. Next week's show, again, 2010, I'll look forward with the Smart Brief on Workforce folks. We'll hopefully EW Monster will join us. Marianne will be with us. We'll grab a couple other guests. The next week after that is Christmas Eve. We're taking the night off, rum-pa-pum-pum and all that kind of stuff. The week after that is New Year's Eve, and I think we're going to do a special HR happy hour on New Year's Eve. So I'm thinking about the timing on that and the theme and who might come on. So if you're interested, though, let us know. If you're interested in maybe hanging out with us for a little bit of your New Year's Eve on the HR happy hour, send us a mail, send out a tweet, let us know if you think that's a good idea or not. But, you know, I'm willing to do it. I'm a parent, you know, with a little kid. We don't get to do anything fun on New Year's Eve. So
I don't have a life.
Yeah, so we might do a couple hours prior to a little pre-midnight HR happy hour and have some fun on New Year's Eve. So that's what's coming up on the show. Again, in 2009, in that theme, thanks so much for listening, tweeting, supporting the show. This thing came out of nowhere one random night back in May, I think it was, with Mark and I, and
right.
It turned into something really fun. We're 22 episodes in, and seemingly we're going to keep going. So thanks so much, everyone. Really appreciate it all, and good night from the HR Happy Hour.
Night, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Good night, Happy Hour.